My mother had six kids with her. They were six and younger. And she decided to get off the road because it was less dangerous to go through the fields than on the roads. Because on the roads is where the Allies were shooting at us. And so she took two of her kids, and I got left behind, and I was in an orphanage for a while. And, you know, I mean, it was really chaotic. I remember as a kid never feeling safe, didn't know what I could trust or who I could trust. I was very fearful, so I read a lot of books because books are safe. You know, nothing jumps out of you from a book, you know. So you can write about people shooting at each other, but that's different than when you're getting shot at. And so books were safe, and I did a lot of reading. And when I was 6 years old, I was in Germany and listened to adults argue about things that I thought as a six-year-old were really, why are you arguing about that? That's so silly. That's so trivial. And it occurred to me that there must be a way that people can live in harmony. And then the thought occurred to me, I'm going to find out how. That was being, and that became the mission of my life, to find out how human beings can live in harmony.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today, we have a really special guest, and I'm really happy to have him here with us, sharing his presence and his knowledge. His name is Udo Erasmus. He is an acclaimed speaker and author of many books, including the best-selling Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, which has sold over 250,000 copies in 30 countries. He has an extensive education in biochemistry, genetics, biology, and nutrition, including a master's degree in counseling psychology. He believes in peace. He loves nature and human nature. And I'm really happy to have him here. And I'm really happy that we can talk about gratitude. And yeah, just talking with him a few minutes ago, it completely changed my state. And I want to show my appreciation for this, Udo. Thank you.
All right. Glad to be here, and glad to be in the process of changing states, because we could all live much better than we do, because there's so much in us to celebrate.
Exactly.
And to me, you know, it's not about the outside world as much as it is what we bring out from inside, because everything we've ever wanted and way more is already inside of us.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And actually, I was thinking at one point, I was thinking about the United States and the fact that at a certain level, our states, our particular personal states, actually affect the state we are. Like,
I got it. Yeah,
the U.S. or
the United States of humanity.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. Well, that's the state of the world is the sum of the individual states of the individual people living on it. You know, so one person is depressed and two people are happy, you know, then we're going to be a little bit higher than you were going to be a little bit more happy than depressed, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really is like that, and it's not like, you know, what the country or other people should bring to me, but what I have, what I am, and what I have, and what I can then radiate into the world. That is where all the work gets done. All the work gets done individually in working on our state of being. And then that will automatically come to expression in what we think and what we say and what we do and the outcomes of that. So what's wrong with the world is what's wrong with us, and what's right with the world is what's right with us.
That's a very responsible way of seeing things. And I believe in responsibility, because when we know that we are responsible, we have the ability to respond. And that's very important. And like you said, the fact that we have this ability to radiate and to create this beautiful world, that's something amazing. And it feeds others. And by having more people like these, actually gets us to live in a different state, you know, in general.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I was born during the Second World War in Europe. I was in Poland. It was then part of Germany. And so I saw what happens when people don't cultivate peace and cooperation and connection when they can. Because if we're not cultivating the good, then we tend to drift downward, downhill. And war is, of course, is the bottom end of how when we don't pay attention. And so for me, it's not very difficult to be grateful and to be happy about things, because I always have the war to compare it to. Well, you know, nobody shoot. You know, I'm grateful because nobody's shooting at me, right? I mean, that's a funny kind of grateful, but it's true. You know, it's like. And then when you start to say, well, you start from nothing. When I was thinking about what we're doing here, you know, I wrote something down. It said, start with nothing and then see what you have. Mm. Because if you start from the point of view, it would be possible for you to have nothing or not even to exist, right? If you take it right down, not even exist. And then you start to say, well, wait a minute, I have a body, I'm alive, I can laugh, I can cry, you know, and then I'm just starting, right? You know, I'm surrounded by nature, you know, there's other people, there's kindness in people's hearts, you know, the water is still wet and the air still blows and the seasons change. And, you know, it's like you start to, I haven't even started yet. There is so much that we have. That is just experiential. That's experiential. That's you can feel. You know, you can dance. You can hear music. You know, you can hear noise too. But there's so many things to hear and so many things to see and so many things to feel and so many things to taste and so many things to smell. That's only just the senses. Right? And then if you start to look at that, it's like, yeah, well, I should be ecstatic, you know, when I see it that way, I am ecstatic. Oh my God, I have it so good. Even amazing. If I'm hungry, even the fact that I can feel hunger is a gift. Even the fact that I can feel pain is a gift, because it tells me something needs to be attended to. So that's it's an incredible gift, right? So great. Gratitude is not hard if I'm just present.
Yeah. I paused for a moment because what I want to give our listeners as a gift is your presence, my presence, and hopefully they can become present as well, listening to this interview and realizing all of the things that you just mentioned.
Right. Of course, the people listening might be actually more present than we are.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful perspective, yeah. And you actually anticipated one of my questions about your background and about the World War. And I'm very curious about your story, if you can share with us.
My parents came from Latvia and Estonia, and German-Swedish background. And they left Latvia when Stalin and Hitler made their peace pact in, I think it was in 1938. And as part of the peace pact, Latvia was given to Stalin, but there was nobody from Latvia at the meeting. They just took it, right? And part of Poland was given to Germany, but there was nobody from Poland at the meeting. They just took it because they could, because they were big. And my parents left Latvia because they loved the Russian people and they hated communism, because when you under communism, everything got taken away and then the state owned everything. And then you became a worker for the state. And they had already gone through the First World War and then the Bolshevik Revolution and then the Depression. And this is just before the Second World War. So they went to Poland, got given a land in Poland. And I was born there. And before I was three, the war ended. So I was born in 1945, the war ended. We were refugees fleeing from Poland into Germany with the communists chasing us in tanks and trucks. And on horse-drawn hay wagons, mostly women with young children, no military presence. The Allies were using us as target practice. They were shooting at us from planes. So these were supposed to be, from my perspective, these were supposed to be the good guys. They were using the refugees, mostly women and children, as target practice. And so it became really intense. And I just remember fear and anxiety and hunger and things like that. My mother had six kids with her. They were six and younger. And she decided to get off the road because it was less dangerous to go through the fields than on the roads. Because on the roads is where the Allies were shooting at us. And so she took two of her kids and I got left behind and I was in an orphanage for a while. And, it was really chaotic. I remember as a kid, never feeling safe, didn't know what I could trust or who I could trust. I was very fearful. So I read a lot of books because books are safe. You know, nothing jumps out of you from a book, So you can write about people shooting at each other, but that's different than when you're getting shot at. And so books were safe, and I did a lot of reading. And when I was 6 years old, I was in Germany and listened to adults argue about things that I thought as a six-year-old were really, why are you arguing about that? That's so silly. That's so trivial. And it occurred to me that there must be a way that people can live in harmony. And then the thought occurred to me, I'm going to find out how. That became the mission of my life, to find out how human beings can live in harmony. And then when I grew up and started studying, I went into science to understand how things work, then into biosciences, how creatures work, then into psychology, how thinking works, then into medicine, to understand what health is. But in medicine, you only learn about disease. So I went back into biochemistry and genetics, because in biological sciences, you're studying normal creatures in normal situations. That's what health is, right?
Yeah.
In medicine, they only study disease and then they manage disease. They don't teach health and they don't get people back to health. And they say health is when you're not sick, but it's actually backwards. You're sick when you're not healthy. Health is a principles and components. When they're in place, you're healthy. When you get out of line with those, then you start to get sick. So then I did that, and then I left university after genetics and I was still looking for something, and I got into self-knowledge, because of what I really needed to know is how I work. And so that's basically is my background. My goal is that 8 billion people could live their lives lit up from within, because the light is already within us. It's called life. And when they, it's a matter of looking into it instead of looking away from it. Mostly we look away from it. When we do that, we will feel so cared for, because life is perfect, unconditional love for the body. When we feel that taken care of, then we don't need more, so that we will stop stealing each other's stuff. And when we stop stealing each other's stuff, then we can live in harmony. And when we live in harmony, it's very easy to make sure that everybody's basic needs are met on a long-term sustainable basis. That's my goal for what I spend the rest of my life on this planet doing.
That's such a beautiful vision. Yeah. And it makes so much sense, because even the wars get started because of different things that have to do with some kind of, in my opinion, at least, to with some kind of lack of harmony inside different people. And instead of doing something to fix it inside, they go outside and they kill other people, and they invade other lands and do all kinds of things that bring much more lack of harmony.
Right, because it's actually our disconnection from ourselves that happens after we're born. You know, because when we're in our mother's womb, there's no place to go, there's nothing to do, everything's taken care of, and we're safe. And in that place, our presence is actually inside of our own body, because there's nowhere else to go, right? What are you going to do inside? You're in a little water tank, right? You're floating around in a water tank, and your body is growing, but you have nothing to do. So you just hang out in your presence, in your life, in your light, in the core of your own, you know, inside of your own body. And you spend 9 months there. This is like, we call it the Buddha state, enlightened. You're in the light. But you could call it anything. It's like what all the masters, all the great masters talked about, Buddha and Christ and Krishna and Socrates probably, and, you know, Lao Tzu. And there's a bunch of like really wise people that understood life. They all talked about the same thing. What you're looking for, you already got. So look inside. Don't look out there for what you got in here. Look in here for what you got in here. And and then when we got born, then we came into the world, and our awareness went out through our senses into the world, because we had to get to know the world for survival. And in that process, we went from being present inside and absent outside in our focus, in our awareness, to being present outside, but now absent inside. So we got disconnected from ourselves. And with that disconnection came a discontent or a dissatisfaction. And that became our driving force. And everything we do in the world, we're trying to find our wholeness again. We're trying to feel okay again. But we're looking for the reconnection outside. So if I make $1 million, or if I get the girl, or, you know, if I succeed in whatever project I've set up, if I walk barefoot through Antarctica, or, you know, sometimes they're like really crazy ideas that people have, right? But they think that if I succeed in what I do, then I will feel whole again, then I'll feel good again, then I'll be you know, then I'll be okay again. And of course, it never happens. What happens is for three days, when they succeed, they jump up and down and say, yeah, I did it. And then on day four, their heart aches again. They feel restless again. And then they say, okay, well, maybe that was, then they're disappointed because they hoped that something would make them whole and it didn't. Then they're disappointed. Then they say, okay, well, maybe if I make $10 million instead of $1 million, and then they figure out some new project. And then they hope that project will make them feel whole again. And sometimes they spend years becoming successful in what they set out to do. And they only get those 3 days of, yay, I did it. And then, because the disconnection that we're striving to reconnect is an internal one. And you can't fix on the outside what's broken on the inside. And so instead of having a big project, what you actually need to do is you need to sit down and become really still. You know, close your eyes. See if you can bring your awareness into the space that your body occupies. And then see how deep you can go into the stillness in that space. And see how long you can stay there. And discover what there is. You can find light in the darkness. You can find sound in the silence. You can find love in your emptiness. And you can feel, you know, and if you go deep enough, you will feel a peace that when you connect to it inside yourself, you will realize, oh, peace has always been everywhere. Peace is everywhere, all the time. Where's peace? Where's peace? People say, right? It's everywhere. But only peace knows that. So if you don't see peace everywhere, then it's because you're not connected to the peace in you that would observe that. So
this is wonderful.
Yeah, so what we talk about, the homecoming and making the world a better place, actually depends on nothing but us becoming more fully present in the space that our body occupies. And then discovering the wholeness that is in that space. We already all have it. It's not like, you know, it's not like we have to create it. It's like we just have to discover what's already there. Every human being, nobody left out. Everybody born full with peace and love and gratitude. Comes out of recognizing it. Not hard to find gratitude. Not hard to find gratitude when you realize how much you have. Oh my God, you know, I could be just like a little, you know, handful of dust blowing around in the wind. You know, oh my God, I'm just three buckets of water. You know, I'm a little bit of sunshine, right? And all of it put together to be able to have a human experience. It's so rich. So rich, so rich. and a lot of time over history, you know, we've been around for 200,000 years. Most people have missed it, you know, and it's a gift that, you know, what's within you is a gift that only you can enjoy. Your special gift from the universe. Because nobody else can enjoy the gift of your life for you. Nobody can enjoy it for you. So if you don't enjoy it, then it's a wasted gift. You know, and, you know, see, I'm rich, 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 rich. But I feel like I don't have anything because I'm not paying attention to what I have.
That's so true. And this is where gratitude comes in and why I believe gratitude is so important, that it helps us see these things, and we don't actually need more to feel grateful, to be happy, to to see these small things that are actually amazing, that are magical.
Yeah, you live in a world of magic. You are magic. You are magic living in a world of magic.
That's very true. And I absolutely love your perspective. It's when you talked about those elements and that they come together and they become us and our experience, and makes so much sense. And I honestly never thought about me or about us as humans in general from that point of view, and I think it's very unique and very beautiful to appreciate the fact that all of those elements got combined and we were created, and we get to have this very complex experience of life that otherwise wouldn't be possible. Right?
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's gratitude in action. It's gratitude expressed in a beautiful way.
Yeah. And when I think about the things I complain about, you know, somebody put the toilet paper roll so that it, you know, so that the paper comes off the bottom instead of the top.
I know.
that's enough to get upset.
Yeah.
Like, what? You really? What? You really? That's important? Really? or you know, the lights, sometimes the electricity goes out, right? Oh my God. How can I live? Right? Or I mean, anything, you know, or somebody, you know, somebody comes, you know, you decide to meet, and the person you meet is 5 minutes late. Oh my God. It's like, right? I mean, such little things that we get upset about, and we have so much, you know. And sometimes it takes a lot of, you know, in a way, one of my greatest gifts was that war, because that laid a foundation for me for how good it is most of the time. I just put it, you know, that was like, there's the line, right? There's the line. Got a war, you're running for your life, people are shooting at you. You don't have any food. You can't stop to rest. You're on a horse-drawn hay wagon. There's dead people in the ditches and dead horses in the ditches. Kids are crying. You know, the parents don't know what to do. They're completely freaked out. You know, and if that's like a baseline, everything above that is good, right?
Yeah.
So from that perspective, It's incredibly good if people know how bad it can get, as a reminder how good they have it.
Exactly. And I think there is an important aspect to your story that I believe can be inspirational for all of us. I think it's your gift and it's your power that you got to see things in this way. Others might have been, might have felt like they were victim to those situations and live their whole lives hating other people for the things that they've done, or feeling full of resentment or things of this nature. But you chose to appreciate everything from then on. And I believe that we have similar situations to your story. Maybe most probably not as harsh. Yeah, not as intense. Yeah. And we can all choose, right? And you made the choice and you're doing something beautiful out of that.
Yeah, there's choice involved, but there's also a lot of help involved. You know, there were people, you know, I don't remember feeling loved when I was 9, when I was 5, you know, most early childhood. I don't remember that. But there were people. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. And there were people who were very, very kind. You know, and they knew I was in pain, I guess. You know, and it's not like you can dig the pain out of somebody, but they treated me with kindness. And they showed me things in the world that I wouldn't have maybe noticed. And so I got a lot of help, and we all get a lot of help if we acknowledge it.
So, you know? True.
So there were a lot of people. I mean, war is crazy and people do really crazy things, and it's destructive and it's hateful. And at the same time, in the war, there are many, many people who are still doing the best they can and trying to help, you know, and are not confused by the war about that helping makes more sense than hurting. Right. And there were people on both sides, you know, everywhere in the middle of all this craziness, they were still trying to help each other and still trying to save each other and still trying to find safety for themselves and other people. But I think the war kind of made it as a line. Okay, here's where we start from. This is like not good, right? And here's where we start from. And it also pushed me to say there must be a better way to live. And I'm going to find out. And then made me interested in helping people with quality of life in whatever way I can. Because there's a thousand ways that we can help each other to have better quality of life. So there's a lot in the middle of that. There's a lot there. It's a baseline. It's a starting point. It's a driver. It's an inspiration to be, you know, and sometimes actually when you meet people, sometimes the people who had the hardest childhood become the most productive and caring people. That's interesting. So maybe having an easy childhood should not be the goal. Maybe a little hardship is not a bad idea. You know, maybe being hungry once in a while is not a bad idea. Just because it really puts you into a place of appreciating things that are very easy to take for granted and exactly. Then not appreciate, right?
Yeah. And it's about contrast in gratitude, an important part of gratitude and of how to experience more of it is contrast. If we're home all the time, we might stop appreciating our place. If we live for a while and we get back, home is like heaven.
And certainly we live in a body and we take the body for granted and we take what is in it for granted. And then we miss a lot of what is possible for us. And you can't take it for granted, but then you see all of a sudden that you have a lump somewhere, or you know something isn't working, or your hip hurts or something, and then you get back to appreciating again the fact that you have hips.
Exactly.
So, if we don't need pain to develop appreciation, but if we need pain to develop appreciation, we will create the pain to develop the appreciation. So we kind of do it to ourselves, and we create the situations for ourselves that we need for our learning. And it's only when we don't take it for granted and we're really present that we don't need pain. We don't need it, but a lot of people, you know, either I live my life from inspiration, in which case I'm drawn by a vision, or I live my life running from a stick, avoiding pain. You know, depending on if you're wise, then you look for a vision. And if you're not so wise, then you wait till the stick. Wait till the stick comes.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Yeah. And we're nearing the end of our time together. And I wanted to ask you. You mentioned the fact that there were people that helped you. Mm-hmm. Who are some people in your life that you're grateful for?
Probably the first one that I remember, and I think probably that's because I took my mother for granted, because she was always there, so except when she wasn't. But my aunt took me on because I needed some attention, and I had four siblings, and so I was the fourth of four, so she took me on. So I would be over at her place. She was single. I think her boyfriend had been killed during the war, and she never got over it. So she was always helping. And so she would take me to her house, and we would watch television. We didn't have television because we were really poor. We lost everything during the war. She would listen, not television, it was radio. She had a radio. And so they had things on the radio, and she would watch certain programs with me and then ask me questions about it. And just basically that she took time to hang out with me. So she was one of my very first that I remember. And I always liked to go and see her, because she was so kind. But then I had teachers who were really kind, and you know, just like I've even had experiences with beings made of light at certain times that brought wisdom and insight and understanding when I was confused and trying to figure things out. So I think we're surrounded by goodness. We're filled with goodness, and we're surrounded by goodness. And sometimes we miss it all. So, but there are many. When I went to school in Germany, I had a teacher who every day he would cane me. You know, he would hit me with a stick every day, because he didn't like us. He didn't like me. And then we went to another school, and he always told me, "You're going to fail the year because you're just no good." And you know, and then we changed schools, and in the next school, I ended up being one of the best students. Like this, a week later, because the teacher was kind.
Exactly.
You know, so, and because we have feet and we're not locked into one place, we can find people who are helpful, who can help us, and we can help people who need help. And so we're not stuck with certain people. We can always find the people we need in order to grow in our humanness. So there are a lot of them around. Most people are even though we don't live as well as we could, but people are still doing the best they can. And so there's a lot of kindness in the world. Doesn't make the news. In the news, you only hear about the bad stuff.
Yeah.
But in between the news, people are doing what they can to be kind to themselves, to be kind to each other, to be kind to the environment, to be kind to animals, to be kind to life in general, and to be happy, and then to be grateful that here we are, flying through space at 60,000 miles an hour on a little blue marble covered with green plants. What an amazing thing that is, right?
Wow.
Sunshine, you know, the sun, you know, just far enough away so that we get enough light and enough warmth to live. Because if we were like further away, we would all freeze to death. And if we were closer, we would all get cooked, right? But the sun is just perfect, 93,000 miles away. Just perfect to make life possible. You know, even from that perspective, big perspective, little perspective.
This is amazing. And with these thoughts, I think it would be great to end this beautiful interview.
Right.
Realizing that we're flying, like you said, in space, and we're at the perfect degrees from the sun. And we get to enjoy this beautiful gift called life.
Yeah, and I have sheets on my bed and water in my tap. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, since we're almost at the end of our time together, let our audience know where they can get in touch with you, where they can get to know more about you and the work that you're doing.
Yeah, UdoErasmus.com is one of my websites, and we do education on that website, and we have some courses. We're just building it. And then I have another one that's called Udo's Choice, U-D-O-S Choice. .com, and that's about, I work with oils and digestive enzymes and probiotics, which is the physical part of health. And so there's information about what I do there on that website. And I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Facebook, and I have a YouTube channel. I'm not hard to find.
All right, thank you very much for your time, for your presence, and just search for Udo Erasmus and you will find everything that you need to get in touch with Udo. So thank you very much.
Well, and thank you for being an amplifier for a message. So what you're
My
doing
pleasure.
Is, yeah, it's amazing. I don't know how many people follow you, but you know, anybody who gets to listen to something that helps them find more gratitude in their life, that's got to be good for the world.
Most definitely. And I'm really happy that I'm able to do this. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much. Once again, this has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.